If you do have your Bibles this morning, I will invite you to turn with me once again to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Now we'll also look at Luke chapter 11. I was telling Trey this morning, we're not going to read a lot of Scripture, and that's kind of unusual. I usually read a lot of Scripture when I preach. But if you want to just kind of have your place in Matthew chapter 6, but also mark Luke chapter 11, because we're just going to kind of go back and forth between those two. Matthew chapter 6 and Luke 11 will once again be our focus text. Now, most of you were here last Sunday, and you may recall that we looked at these two different passages of Scripture in our message. They are two very similar passages, in fact. And as I explained last week, this will be a two-part message. A message that we started last Sunday, and we will conclude this message today. But just to review very briefly, I'm just going to mention some of the highlights of our message from last week. Now, one of the primary things that we discussed last Sunday is that there is so much more to prayer than just asking God for things. Prayer involves so much more than just help me and bless me and give me, etc. And while God does want to hear our concerns, the amazing thing is, as Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, verse 8, God already knows all of these things that we need. Therefore, that should not be our primary focus in prayer. Prayer is not to be treated like a wish list or like a shopping list. But instead, listen, my friends, prayer is about developing a relationship with God. Prayer is about close, intimate, personal communication with our Heavenly Father. And therefore, prayer should not be rushed into, but instead, it is when we go into a private place and we spend quality time alone in the presence of God. But what do we say? How do we do it? Interestingly enough, Jesus' disciples asked him the very same question. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 1, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." We're going to pick up right there. Actually, looking side by side at Matthew 6 and Luke 11. But Jesus said, "In this manner, therefore, pray." And as I mentioned last week, that is where I got the title for our message that you see printed in your bulletin. The title that says, "Pray This Way." That is from words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and also in Luke 11, 2, we see similar words in which Jesus said, "When you pray, pray this way," or "pray in this manner." And I want to emphasize to us once again, I said this last week, but Jesus is not giving us a formula prayer. I don't think the main intent of the model prayer is just to memorize it verbatim and then quote it without much thought or sincerity. Instead, like we said last week, the model prayer may be more like a very basic outline, which you and I get to fill in the blanks, or maybe even a partial outline to a black and white drawing in which we get to add the many colors to it. But Jesus gives us a simple yet very effective model prayer, which I think serves merely as the opening door or even a stepping stone on the way to a full and meaningful prayer life. And he begins it by saying, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I want us to stop here for just a moment, because I think concealed in those words right there is a fascinating truth of Scripture. When we pray, listen, we don't every time have to come before God saying, "Oh, great and awesome Creator of all the universe." Now, He is. We know that. And yes, maybe there are times that we rightfully feel compelled to address Him as such. But I want us to understand what Jesus is giving us here. We have the privilege of coming before that very great and awesome Creator of all the universe in such a close personal way that we get to call Him our Father. Think about it. Father. Now that is a word that implies respect. But it is also a word that implies love, provision, and a family type relationship. Good pastor friend of mine, Charlie Wellham, every Sunday he preached, he would make a profound statement and just say, wow. I had Charlie come and preach revival for us once at South Cherokee, and for months following that, every Sunday I would say, wow. That's one of those moments that I want to say, wow. That word Father, it implies respect, but it also implies love, provision, and a family type relationship. Wow. Yeah, I went back and repeated it for emphasis, but I wanted to make sure we don't miss it. Think about it. The very omnipotent Creator of all the universe, and we get to call Him Heavenly Father. And that does not cheapen His awesomeness. It adds to it. It enhances it. Think about it. In the midst of His unfathomable power, it's almost like I can visualize, it's probably not really the way it happens because God is omnipotent, He's everywhere, but I visualize God leaning over from His throne, leaning over to hear what His children have to say. And no, you don't have to quote me on that one because, again, God is, He is omnipresent. He doesn't have to lean over to hear us. But I say that to visualize the closeness we can have. And that He wants to hear from us. Maybe think of it like this. When my children were very little, I loved to hear them say, Daddy, and come running. I wouldn't just lean over. What would I do? You probably know. I would lean over and pick them up into my arms to hear what they had to say. And I visualize that kind of relationship when we say, Our Father who art in heaven. And what a privilege it is to call You our Father. Amen? Let's keep going. Jesus said, pray this way, Hallowed be Thy name. That means holy is Your name. Jesus starts out the model prayer by declaring the greatness of God. In fact, here's another way we could look at that. When you pray, don't always start with you. Don't always start with your needs. Now, here's something important for us to grasp. Listen, I know there are times when we get into a mess and we feel the need for emergency prayer that goes straight to the immediate issue at hand. I'm thinking of one. Just didn't know if I should share it. But now that I've started, I'm going to. One such time, I can remember when you see blue lights in your rearview mirror, you immediately start praying, going to the immediate problem at hand. You may say, oh Lord, please, please. But anyway, sometimes, yes, we feel the need to go straight to the immediate issue at hand, but still, let's hope those are not our only times of prayer. Prayer should not typically begin by focusing on us or on our needs. Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, and He started by teaching them to declare the glory of God. First, He mentioned God's approachability. Then He mentioned His holiness. Now, here are some words I want us to think about for a moment. Just think about these words. Praise, worship, adoration, exaltation, thanksgiving, gratitude, honor, reverence. Do you know what those words all have in common? And I know we know those words. I want you to listen to these words again. I'm going somewhere with this. Listen to these words and think about it. Praise, worship, adoration, exaltation, thanksgiving, gratitude, honor, and reverence. What all of these words have in common is that they are things which are often missing from our prayer time with God. You see, too much focus, way too much focus is on us, on our concerns, and on our needs. But Jesus is instructing us here to begin our prayers acknowledging the holy greatness of God. And it's so important in our prayer time that we don't rush past this. Instead, in our private prayer time, we need to pause for however long it takes to recognize the greatness of our Heavenly Father. Yes, we have the privilege of calling Him Father. But don't forget, He is also Holy God. And here's the thing about starting your prayers this way. The more time we spend recognizing who it is that we're talking to, then the less we become concerned about all those unresolved issues that we were previously wanting to ask Him about. You see, in the light of God's greatness, suddenly all those other things just don't seem all that important anymore. In fact, maybe when we fully realize who it is we're talking to, our faith then begins to understand that He's going to take care of all those other things anyway, so there's no need for us to rush into those things. You see, as we acknowledge His greatness, our faith and trust begin to grow as well. Now, here's some words we don't always hear in prayer, but think about this. Inhaling, embracing, experiencing. See, that's what we are to do in prayer. We are to inhale and embrace and experience the presence of God. And how much time do we need to spend on that? Enough time for it to sink in. I can't give you an exact formula, and it may be different each time you pray, but it requires a discipline in prayer to not rush past this. Give it time to sink in. As you worship and praise Him, stay there for a little while. And that will then affect every other facet of how we pray. But as you pray, declare His greatness. He deserves that. And then, where does the model prayer take us next? He says, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done." Now, here's a critical juncture in the process of prayer. Much like the other areas of the model prayer, we tend to rush right by this one as well. Because this one is a challenge, if you think about it. This one is almost an affront to our human nature. Because when we say, "Thy will be done," we are relinquishing control and rather yielding unto Him. In other words, what this part of the prayer is really saying, think about it this way, to say, "Lord, Your will be done," is to say this. This is why it's a challenge. We're actually saying, "God, before I even get to my needs, before I even express my wants and wishes, I just want to tell You, Lord, whatever the answer is, I'm okay with that." Now, do we pray that honestly? And do we do it often, saying, "Your will before mine, Your kingdom before me, and You, Lord, are in the driver's seat"? Now, sometimes that's easier to say than it is at other times. And it's especially hard to say when things aren't going our way. You see, deep inside our human nature, there is an unspoken desire to say something like, "Lord, Your kingdom come and Your will be done," just so long as that will coincides with the way that I would like to see things turn out. Now, we don't like to admit that, but if we search deep within ourselves, I'm fairly certain we will find traces of that. And that's okay, it's just human nature, but that's also what we are striving to overcome as we deepen our prayer life. Now let's break it down for a moment. Let's dissect what this phrase is saying. Your kingdom come, and really that's another part of declaring His glory, but also your will be done. That says, Lord, I surrender all of me to all of you. I put your agenda for my life ahead of my own agenda for my life. That's tough for us to do sometimes, but that's what He has called us to do. This is an aspect of prayer that says this: before we even get to the part of our prayer that covers the things I need and want, you're saying, Lord, I'll let you know right up front that what I think I want and need is actually irrelevant. Instead, Lord, you're the boss. Have your own way. Now, friends, you might possibly struggle sometimes in this area of prayer. If you're normal, you probably do. So don't let that get you discouraged. But this part of prayer is to bring us into alignment with God. I heard it this way one time. I did not come up with this, but I thought it was good. Someone said, for the less mature Christian, the point of prayer is to try and change God. But for the mature Christian, prayer is not meant to change God. Prayer is meant to change us. But here's something else for us to consider. I said already that this part of prayer might be a bit of a challenge for us. Well, do you think it was a challenge for Jesus? Now, our first reaction is to say, no. I'm sure Jesus didn't struggle with this, but I want us to dig deeper. I want us to think about this. It's just a thought. But do you remember the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? It's in John chapter 11, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because perhaps it's another sermon for another day. Maybe coming to a pulpit one Sunday near you, but I digress. I don't know if the Lord so leads. Maybe not. But from John chapter 11, if you remember, this is the story of Lazarus. Jesus is just about to raise a man from the dead. No small feat, by the way. But in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, Jesus offers up a quick prayer. And I don't say that word loosely either. The prayer was, in fact, very quick. Jesus prays for maybe 10 seconds or so and says something to the effect of, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know you always hear me, but for the benefit of the people standing here, I say these things so they may know that you sent me. That was his prayer. And then Jesus turns around and he calls Lazarus back from the dead. About a 10-second prayer in which he knew that his own will was aligned with God. And so, boom, there it was. A quick prayer, and then Lazarus come forth, and then to God be the glory, great things he has done. 10-second prayer. He knew his will was aligned with God's. But think about this. On the night before Jesus was about to lay down his life, on the night before Jesus was about to face the excruciating agony of the cross, on the night before Jesus would be whipped and beaten mercilessly and cruelly, taking upon himself the sin of mankind, that, my friends, was no 10-second prayer. And that night, Jesus prayed for many hours into the night, and he prayed so intensely that he sweat drops of blood. And that shows a level of stress that is near death in its intensity. And Jesus prayed that way long into the night. And on at least 3 recorded instances in Scripture regarding this same occasion, Jesus prays, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Now, have you ever considered what a struggle that might have been for Jesus? And I don't mean this to sound irreverent or disrespectful, but just think about it realistically. Who could blame Jesus for not wanting to undergo that? Now, it was worth it to him because he loved us that much. But don't forget, Jesus also asked God if there was any other possible way. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Now, my friends, we don't always think about it this way, but do you realize that we have here on written record a prayer of Jesus that God did not answer in the way that Jesus hoped? Now, we think about unanswered prayer in our own lives, but here's a big one in the life of Jesus. Matthew 26:39, if you want to look it up. In fact, I'm going to share it with you. Matthew 26:39, it says, "And Jesus went a little beyond them," and I want us to not miss these words, "and fell on his face." No, he didn't trip and fall. He dropped to his knees and collapsed onto his face. It says, "And Jesus went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And I just wonder sometimes what else was prayed and was missed. Because you remember the disciples went to sleep. The ones who were writing this down and recording it, they missed most of it. They slept through it while Jesus labored in prayer. But he said, "If it is possible, Father, let this cup pass from me." But that's not all, he said, is it? Still, he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, to rephrase that just a little to help us understand it, it's like Jesus is saying, "Father, if you can see any other way, I'd really rather not. But regardless of what I want or don't want, I want you to know that, or Father, I know," he's saying, "I know that you know what is best. So you make the decision. You be the one in charge." Tim, I love an old song by Dallas Home. You probably know it because we always know the same songs. See, Tim and I grew up in the same era. I started to say era. We grew up in the same era. You remember the His Last Days by Dallas Home? There was a song. The name of it was just Father. And it was about the prayer in the garden. And I love the way Dallas Home wrote that song, because in verse number one, he's saying, "Father, is there another way? Is there no other way?" And by the last verse, he's saying, "Father, there is no other way. I'll do your will today." He's telling God, "You be the one in charge." And folks, I know that's tough for us to do sometimes, but if we look at this passage, realistically and honestly, Jesus was struggling too. I'm not saying he faltered. Oh, on the contrary, he sets the ultimate example for us in prayer. But there was a prayerful wrestling with God, not fighting for control, but coming to grips with the fact that God's will wasn't going to be the easiest path to follow. And Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." But let's not forget, he stayed there many hours that night dealing with that. You see, that aspect of prayer may take a while for some of us. And if we are not to the place where we can recognize and declare God's authority, then maybe we just need to stay there for a little while. Sometimes we need to stay on our knees a bit longer in that time of abiding in God's presence, to where the Lord begins to change the condition of our hearts. And if we are not to that place where we can fully surrender every element and every aspect of our lives to Him, maybe we just need to stay there in prayer for a little while longer. And you know, maybe on some days that's going to be harder than it is at other times. There's going to be those days in our lives when it seems like things are falling apart, and we just might struggle with that concept that says, "What I want doesn't really matter." If we're honest with ourselves, our more honest prayer might be something like this: "God, I know I really should desire for your will to be done, and I really do want your will to be done, but I'm just having trouble letting go of this right now." It's okay. We can openly and honestly pray those things unto God. I had a dear Christian friend advise me years ago about something I was struggling with like that, and I said, "I don't want to let it go." And she said, "Well, tell God that. God's big enough. He can handle it. Tell Him." Sometimes we'll just have to say, "Lord, I'm struggling. having trouble letting go of this. And then perhaps God will say, that's okay. Let's stay here until you're ready. Or it might even be, come back tomorrow and we'll pick up right there. Could be. You see, molding ourselves to the image of God is not something that's just going to happen completely overnight. And if you're not in the habit of spending quality time alone with God, especially spending time outside of praying for your own specific needs, it's going to take more than just one or two quick prayer sessions to get your will aligned to His. But you see, that's precisely the point. Take the time. Take the time daily, each day of your lives. In fact, speaking of that word daily, that leads us right into the next part of the model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And of course, that comes from Matthew 6:11 and Luke 11:3. And I know y'all know this, but I'm just going to tell you, I don't have all that memorized. I've got it in my notes. I made a note where those verses are. Matthew 6:11 and Luke 11:3. Give us this day our daily bread. But concerning this verse, in the way that some of us pray, you notice it starts with one of our favorite prayer words, give. In other words, we like to say, give me, or give us. As we're praying and we're talking to God, we like to say, give. That's one of our favorite prayer words. But if we're going to pick out specific words for us to focus on, I think a better word from that passage might be the word daily. As you see, as we've already discussed in great detail, the purpose and point in prayer is not to just entice God to give us things, but instead prayer is about us getting to know God. Folks, that's the biggest thing we get out of prayer. We get to know our Heavenly Father, and that should be a daily, habitual occurrence in our lives. And then something else to note about this particular passage. Even though it is in fact a statement of asking from God, notice that Jesus doesn't present a big wish list of numerous and multiple items. He simply suffices it with, give us this day our daily bread. And to put that very simply, it merely addresses the immediate need for the moment. We're not instructed here to ask for an overabundance of material items, but Jesus is simply reaffirming our dependency on God to provide what is needed at that time. And really, that's what this entire section of the model prayer focuses on. It's not so much about asking God to give us things as it is acknowledging our dependence on Him. We are dependent on Him, and this is a part of the model prayer that so clearly expresses that. It is a prayer for provision. It is a prayer for forgiveness. It is a prayer for mercy. It is a prayer for safekeeping. Again, not a greedy, materialistic prayer, but instead a prayer of depending on Him. And really, just like all the other areas of the model prayer, even with this one, we are invited to fill in the blanks. And I've said over and over that asking of God for our own needs and wants should not be the primary focus of prayer. But again, let's don't overlook that God wants to hear our needs expressed. Just one of many verses scripturally. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And that's just one of many. God wants to hear from us. So please, don't hesitate to bring God your issues. It's just that we don't need to spend an abundance of our prayer time on these things, and don't start with those things every time. Again, here's a way to look at it. Just declare His greatness, and then let the conversation flow from there. And then very quickly, just to touch upon the last few points of the model prayer. You see now why I split this into two sermons. But just to touch upon the last points very quickly, Jesus says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have wronged us. There's a whole nother sermon in that for another day too. But once again, even in that, we are recognizing our dependency upon God. Do you remember the very simple but profound prayer of the publican in Luke chapter 18, the tax collector, who just beat his chest and he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." You see, that in itself is expressing dependency. It's acknowledging dependence upon God. We depend on God for our salvation, and through Jesus, He has provided it. When this publican prayed, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," the Bible says that man went home justified. You see, acknowledging our sinfulness and praying for God's forgiveness is not just a step in the right direction toward prayer, but that's a step in the process of salvation. Admitting our shortcomings and humbly acknowledging our need for God's mercy, even in our salvation, is expressing dependency upon God. And Jesus reminds us of that here in this prayer. And He also reminds us that as those who have been forgiven by God, we are to also practice forgiveness for any who we feel have wronged us. Again, I could say a lot more about that, but we need to move on. Then we see where Jesus takes asking God's provision to the next step, and that's praying for deliverance from temptation and evil. You see, that's one of the keys to resisting temptation, is to not try to do so in our own strength, but instead depend upon God for the strength to withstand. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 reminds us. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me." You see, Jesus has already delivered Himself as the propitiation for our sins, meaning He provided the need that was due to atone for our sins. So you see, this part of the Lord's Prayer is simply once again an acknowledgement of our dependence. It's a way of reminding us to let go of our pride and to humbly draw unto our God, our Heavenly Father, and our Provider. And again, for the sake of time, we need to move on. So as we wind down today, let me remind you of something that we discussed last week. Luke chapter 11 leaves out part of the familiar passage that we know so well from Matthew chapter 6. And I think that might be, just to help emphasize the point, that the Lord's Prayer, it was not just to memorize a specific text and then quote those words aloud as our personal prayer. Now, there is nothing wrong with that, but it needs to be done out of sincerity and not out of habit. And there needs to be a whole lot more to our prayers than that. I said it last week. I'll say it again. It is not about using specific words in a specific order that matters. It's the heart. It's the heart that matters. And I ask you today, won't you let Him change your heart? Now, Luke chapter 11 finishes the Lord's Prayer with verse 4, whereas Matthew chapter 6 adds an additional portion in verse 13, which says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Jesus started His prayer with praise and worship. He started out by proclaiming the greatness of God, and here Jesus wraps up His prayer in the same manner. Praise and worship of God is a great way to start our prayers, and it is certainly a good way to end our prayers. I said last week that a tragedy in the life of so many Christians is that we have allowed prayer itself to become a very simplistic, regimented way for us just to ask God to bless us, to keep us safe, and to give us whatever it is we want. But really, prayer should be about spending time alone with God in intimate, personal communication with Him. And I'll just say one more time, there's nothing wrong with addressing your concerns, but don't let that be the focus. Instead, folks, let Him be the focus as you grow in Him and as you grow with Him. And as we do prepare to close today, you know I always like to address this, but maybe someone who is here today has never actually begun their relationship with God. And what I mean is, if someone has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive their sin and to be their Lord and Savior. Now, we've talked about the importance of prayer, but I want you to know there is never a more important prayer that you will pray. There is never a more important decision that you will make than the decision to pray and ask for God's forgiveness from sin and receiving His gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I sincerely hope that is a decision that each of you have already made. And if not, I urge you to make that decision here in this place today. And yes, we are just about done. We're just about to close. This part is so important. I mentioned earlier in this message how we depend upon God for our salvation. And through Jesus, He has provided the way for our redemption. That was accomplished on the cross when Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. And listen, He is the only way by which you can be forgiven from sin. I was having lunch with a good friend yesterday, a gentleman that I've prayed for by name. His name was Garrett. I've mentioned him. He's not saved. He's not a believer. And I was even telling him how we're not saved of our own accord. We can't earn our salvation. It's only through what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, you can't earn salvation by trying to be a good person. You don't achieve God's forgiveness through your own efforts other than your willingness to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is how you are reconciled with God, and that is how you receive the promise of eternal life for your soul. I urge you again today. I plead with you. Won't you call out to God if you've never done so? God knows the sincerity of your heart. And if it is truly your desire for Him to forgive your sins and to change your life, He is waiting with open arms to receive you. That's why Jesus came to this earth and endured the cross. It was so He could be your Savior. And Jesus wants to be your Savior. He bled and died and rose again so He could be your Savior. Won't you invite Him into your heart and life? Ask Him to forgive your sins. Tell Him that you want Him to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. He is waiting to receive you today if you're ready to give your heart to Him. Won't you pray with me? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank You so much for the things that we've learned in this message. Father, I've studied on this before in the past, but every time I go through this again, Father, I learn more. It's a reminder of how I need to approach my time of prayer and to approach that prayer, not focusing on the things that I want and need or the things that I think I need, but instead to start with praise, to start with worship, and let my prayer flow out from that. I pray that You teach all of us these things, Lord. Father, I'm still learning it. I'm still learning it day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. I pray that we would all be growing in our relationship with You. And Father, I do pray if there's anyone here today who has never began that relationship with You, I pray this would be the day they would make that right. I pray this would be the day that they would see their need for a Savior and that they would understand that it is only through Jesus that we attain salvation when we put our faith and trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, receiving the gift of forgiveness that He bled and died for on the cross. Father, thank You for Jesus. May Jesus be lifted up in this church today and always. Father, may lost sinners come to know You here in this place. And even in this time right now, move among us, stir our hearts. May we respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.